If you'll back up to the last verse of chapter 4, it'll be verse 11. You shouldn't have any problem finding it. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. And I got it in my Bible, that's a whole heap. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Our Father, we ask you tonight once again to bless the reading of thy word. We ask you tonight, dear God, to overshadow this place. Dear God, would you speak to our hearts and would you move in a mighty way that only you can do. We realize tonight you are sovereign. You don't owe us one thing, but thank God you've done it all for us. I praise your name tonight that thou art worthy. And Lord, you're the only one, this side of eternity or the other side of eternity, that will ever be worthy. Thank you again tonight for where you've brought us from, but thank God for where you're taking us. I ask you now to have your way. If it be one in our midst that may be lost and undone, it may be yours. Would you open their eyes, draw them unto yourself, do that convicting work as only you can. And dear God, save them before it's everlasting too late. For that one tonight that may be discouraged, may he cheer up in the Lord. And tonight, Lord, we ask you again to unctionize us afresh and anew. Thank you tonight for the fresh filling. Thank you tonight, Lord, for the way that you move as only you can, that you manifest yourself. Now get glory tonight. Honor thyself, and we will praise you and thank you in the bloodstained name that's above every name, Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. You may be seated. It's amazing to me when we look through the Word of God how that we find immediately that there's one theme in this book. And that is that of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord. From beginning in the book of Genesis to the last book in the book of the Revelation, He is the prime one that is the center of all things. He is in the midst of it all. Without Him, we could do nothing. We are nothing. We could be nothing. But I'm thankful tonight that we can see as they gathered around the throne in heaven, giving us a glimpse of the future events, what's going to take place, that thank God all praise and all honor and all glory was sent out to the Lord Jesus Christ, the dear Lion and the Lamb of God. I praise Him tonight that as we look to Him, we can see that He is the one that's worthy to be praised. I want to speak to you for a little while tonight, if God will allow us and God would help us. I want to speak to you on worthy is the Lamb. Thank God I'm glad tonight that He is worthy. I'm glad tonight that we can praise Him, we can thank Him, and we can adore the darling Lamb of God. When we begin to open the book of the Revelation, it's not a book to scare you. It's a book to enlighten you. It is a book, thanks be unto God, that God has let us know the past. It's wrapped up in His Son. The present is wrapped up in His Son in these seven churches. And the future is wrapped up in His Son. He's letting us know from beginning to end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the only one that really matters. He's the one that God will listen to us through tonight. Thank God He saved us for Jesus' sake. It was nothing about you that was good that caused God to save you. Quite to the contrary, everything about you was rotten as hell itself. But thanks be unto God, He reached down and He put His hand upon us with His sovereign grace and picked us up and done a work in our heart that only God could do. I praise Him tonight as I begin to look through these pages. I see a vision of God in chapter 1. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, there is the vision of grace. And in chapter 4 through chapter 20, there is the vision of government. In chapter 21 and chapter 22, there's the vision of glory. Thank God, everything that we see in this book points us to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. As we begin to look at this tremendous book tonight, in chapter 1, there's the unveiling of His person. That's His glory. Aren't you glad, thank God, that He unveiled Him? Aren't you thankful tonight that He removed the blindness? You know where you would be and you know where I'd be tonight if God had not given us sight? You know where we would be tonight if we had not seen Jesus for who He really is? Without the anointing work of God and that power of God and the Holy Ghost enlightening us, we'd be in the dark. But thank God He's turned the light on. I'm glad that He don't have to pay a light bill. Glory to God. It's already done. And the light will shine forever and ever because He is the light that's in our heart and in our soul. Then we look at the utterance of His purpose. That's His grace. He's not only the Redeemer, but thank God He redeems. Then we see the unfolding of His power. His government, that's the report. I report to you tonight that He is worthy. I report to you tonight, thanks be unto God, that He's the great Redeemer. He's brought us out of the slave market of sin, and we'll never be sold back in. I thank Him and praise Him for where He's brought us from and what He's done. This book of Revelation is quite a book. It reaches us and teaches us and reveals to us God's glory, His grace, and His government. Today God sets upon His throne yonder in heaven, mercy in heaven, and bids us to come unto His Son, Jesus Christ. But today will come when He will turn His throne into justice and judgment. There'll come a day when God will not be your Savior, but He will be your judge. There'll come a day, thank God, that He will take back everything that's His. He is the one that rules and He's the one that reigns. John is introduced here to a moving and a majestic scene. John is introduced to that which God has made. John is introduced to that which God has moved on. God has manifested Himself to the Apostle John as he was on that Isle of Patmos all alone, but yet he was not alone. For Jesus has promised, I'll not leave nor forsake you. when all hell comes against you and all the world is against you and everything comes your way, thank God you can reach back to the grace of God and His mercy and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for me, which I could not do for myself. John is introduced here in this book. A scroll of seven seals rested in the hand of Him that sat on the throne. His mighty angel shouts loud and challenges heaven, challenges earth, and challenges hell if anyone would be worthy to come and take of that book and to open the seals. And may I add tonight that He didn't really need to open them to see what was in them. Bless God, He wrote them. And I say to you tonight, that's just like the open tomb. He didn't open it to get out. He opened it to let us in. Thank God, I'm glad tonight that He's opened up this book and opened up what's going to take place and opened up to us that which we do not have and cannot have in and of ourselves. And since breathless silence, John awaits for someone to take the book. Surely someone will stand forth and grasp the book and begin to unseal the seals and begin to tell us what the rest of the book of the Revelation tells. We ask the question tonight, would Adam, the father of the human race, step forth and take the book? Would Abraham, the friend of God and the father of faith, step forth and take the book? Would Moses, the meekest man on the face of the earth, stand forth and take the book? Would Elijah, that fiery prophet of courage, stand forth and say, I'll take the book? Would David, a man after God's own heart, stand forth and take forth the book? Would who He set upon the throne of glory come forth and take the seal? Would the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian, I believe, on the face of this earth at any time other than our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that if anybody would have been worthy, as man is concerned, Paul could have went and taken that book, and I believe God would have given it to him, but God shows no respect. Thanks be unto God. He says, there's not but one that's worthy. Will old John the Baptist, that great fiery preacher that preached hell hot, heaven sweet, and preached repentance, would that John the Baptist come forth and take the book? But the answer I say to you tonight, that martyred Stephen, would he come forth? A man who got a standing ovation in heaven. A man that God stood and looked over the rails of heaven and said, that's mine. That's my servant. That's the one, glory be unto God, that has preached full of the Holy Ghost and done that for me, which no one else could do. I say all of these men in and of themselves were wonderful. But bless your heart tonight. They were what they were because of the grace of God. They were not the perfect men, but there was only one there in heaven that was worthy to open that book. No man appeared, not in heaven, not in earth, not in under the earth. John burst into weeping in chapter 4. As he begins to weep uncontrollably, one of the elders says, weep not. No man is worthy. But glory be unto God, behold the Lamb of God. Stop and look and listen and meditate and get this down. Thank God there's one here tonight that will be worthy to open the book. There's one here that can loosen these seals. There's one here tonight that has the authority, thank God, to open the book. And as he sees that Lamb, the one that has the necessary qualifications, that's been slain from in the mist. As he looks at that darling lamb, he sees a lion and a lamb. But as he sees that lamb slain, the Bible tells us that as he sees that lamb, that he sees him as one slain. And as he sees that lamb, it is one of contusions, that mark and that wound that he has. And I want to say to you, there's no scars on my blessed Savior. But there are wounds that he will have to show us, thank God he done it all for you. And he done it all for me. As he looks at that wound and sees our blessed Savior, that contusion would be where they beat him in the face and hit him on the head with the reed and punched him. And then the lacerations where they cat of nine tails ripped across his back and pulled it open, as John 19 tells us. And then as John 19 tells us, there's the penetration, the crown of thorns, the force that put on his head as that blood trickled down over his brow with those long eastern thorns that had to be painful. And John, and as he looks, and as John looks, he sees the blessed Savior. And I cannot believe without 1 minute that John's mind didn't go back to Calvary. He didn't go back for the preaching of the cross, and didn't go back to the day that he saw him hanging on that tree. I believe as John looks and he sees that darling Lamb of God, there is the preparation, that is the nails in his hand and his feet, and that incision where that spear hit up in his side and cut him going in and cut him going out. But I want to say to you tonight that this blessed darling Savior is one that is worthy. He says, "Weep not, for there's one that is worthy." Weep not, he tells us. Glory to God, I'm glad tonight that He's the Savior that will not let us down. He's the Savior that will stay with us. He's the Redeemer of all earth and of mankind. He's the one, thank God, that takes care of the saints. He's the one that will call the sinner. He's the one tonight that gives glory to the one and only. He's the one tonight that we can look to as a suffering lamb. No. Thank God He'll never suffer again. Thank God He'll never bleed again. Thank God He'll never hurt again. Thank God throughout eternity He's the one worthy to be praised. He takes the book. He bows down. And He's worthy. I like what verse 11 of chapter 4 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Then again He tells us in verse 12 of Revelation, with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." He has the adequate means. He has the greatness. He has the merit. He has the character. He has the value. He is the deserving one. He's the one, thanks be unto God, that we should praise tonight. He's the one that we can talk about and look to and thank Him for what He's done for us. I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, He's reminded me in these last few months that He's on the throne. That He's reminded me that He's the only one that's worthy, and He's the only one that we need to please. I'm thankful tonight, thank God, for what He's done, but what He's going to do. He's the blessed God of heaven, the Alpha and Omega, the altogether lovely one. He's the beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star, and the blessed hope. He's the beginning, thank God, but He's the comforting one, the coming one, and the caring one. He's the one tonight that delivers us. He's the darling Son of God. He's the defeater of Satan and hell, and thanks be unto God. He's the one that gives eternal life. He's eternal, and He's the one that enlightens us. And He's the example of us all. He's the faithful witness, the fullness of the Godhead. And thank God, the final authority. He's the one tonight that's said, thank God, that's totally God. And God in Himself. And the greatest that's ever been. I say to you tonight, He's the Holy One. He's the helpful one. He's worthy to be praised. And He's worthy to be thought of. He's the just, He's the infinite one, the inseparable one, and the incomprehensible one. How in the name of God's heaven could we ever begin to comprehend who He is in and of Himself? He's the one tonight that's the just one and the justifier. He's the keeping one and the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and glory to God, the lover of the souls. He's the liberator of sinners, and He's the one that gives life to the saints. He's the one that's master of all. He's the majestic one and the merciful one. He's the necessary one, and thank God He's the near one. He's the one tonight that is the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, and the omnipresent one. He's all powerful. He's all knowing, and there's nowhere that He's not. He is what He always has been, always will be what He is. God is not He used to be, or He will be. God is. I'm glad, hallelujah, that He's a present tense God. I'm glad, glory be unto God, that He's the one that will be there when we ever need Him. Help's on the way, but it's already arrived. Thank God. He's the powerful one, the pure one, the pardoning one, the quickening one. He's the quickener. He's the one that restores and redeems and revives. He's the Savior. He's the Shepherd. He's the Sovereign. He's the Sacrificial Lamb. He's the three in one, the true one. He's the unlimited one, the victorious one, and the wonderful one. I say to you tonight, He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I'm glad tonight that He is mentioned throughout the Word of God. But I search the Word of God and I find that the Lamb is mentioned only two times concerning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Oh, there's many pictures of Him. But concerning Jesus Himself, it is found in Isaiah chapter 53. In verse 7 and Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 19, letting us know that He is the Lamb. Letting us know, thank God, that He was prophesied. Letting us know that He was a powerful one that would come. The Bible tells us that it's only twice in the Gospels. We find in John 1:29 and John 1:36, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John gets all wrapped up in verse 29 of that sovereign Savior. He looks at Him, and a few verses later than at verse 36, he meditated on Him so much and loved Him so much. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God." I'm glad that He takes away my sin, but I'm glad God don't look at me as a sinner now. God looks at me as a son. I bless His holy name. Thank God that He's a Lamb forever and ever and ever. Thank God for the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb to be praised. We find it's only one time in Acts, chapter 8 and verse 12, where He's referring to Isaiah. He's called the Lamb. And then, only once in the epistles in 1 Peter 1:19, He's called the Lamb. But it's a blessing to know that in the book of the Revelation, thank God in these chapters that are before us, the Lamb is mentioned 28 times, showing us that He is the darling Son of God, and He is worthy to take the book, and worthy, thank God, to take on anybody that comes His way. I'm glad when you look through the Word of God, you find this Lamb, and you find Him in many places. I like the first mentioned principle of the Bible. You'll not go wrong, young preacher, if when you see the first mentioned principle of salvation, follow that all the way through and don't lose sight of it. Let me just inform you tonight. Adam would have been straight in hell. Adam would have never called upon God, and Adam would have never been clothed and never saw the light if God had not have come on the scene and said, "Adam, where art thou?" You would be in the dark tonight. You would not be in the light if God had not have got a hold of your heart and done that for you which no one else could do. I'm telling you tonight, thanks be unto God, there's a day that God takes the initiation, and God takes the initiative, and God gets a work into your heart and draws you unto Himself. You better believe if we're saved tonight, we got something to praise Him for. You better believe you got something to shout about. You better believe, thank God, there's nothing that can tear you apart. You better believe He's the Holy One. He's the Just One. He's the Justifier. And thanks be unto God, He'll see you through. I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, that I got the Lamb. I'm glad tonight, glory be unto God, that He's the one that's worthy. He's the one that when we look back into the Old Testament, you go back to the book of Genesis, we have Abel and the Lamb setting forth the necessity of the Lamb. God required a sin offering. Cain brought the best that he had, but it wasn't good enough. First mention is, your good works are not good enough. God looked at the blood. I like He said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." They may take it out of the books. They may try to quit preaching it. But it's the blood of hell, honey. I want you to know it's not just any blood of bulls and goats and rabbits. But thanks be unto God, it's the blood of the Redeemer. God's sovereign blood is there. Genesis 22, that classic of all classics. Tell God you couldn't read that chapter without seeing God all over you. Without seeing the cross. Without seeing the blood. Without seeing the sacrifice. Without seeing faith. Without seeing God's way. And without seeing obedience. Genesis 22, we have Abraham and Isaac. The Lamb revealing to us the provision of the Lamb. For Abraham said, God, and I love this, will provide himself. Oh, he don't need anybody to take care of it. Thank God he didn't search all over glory and try to find a little place over yonder in glory land. Find somebody to come down here before the foundation of this world. Glory be unto God. It was prophesied that God himself would be the redeemer of mankind. I say to you, hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is that Lord God Almighty. Bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised. Exodus chapter 12, the Passover lamb reveals to us the slaying of the lamb. Oh, thank God. That was a time in my life when he was just a lamb. That was a time in my life when he was the lamb. But bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. For the day that he turned the lights on and drew me, and he became my lamb. Oh yes, it's a personal thing. He's my lamb. He's my God. Hallelujah. He's the one that'll see us through and take care of us. He's the God, hallelujah, that will take care of and show us everything. I said, worthy. Worthy. Worthy is the Lord. Bless his holy name. Glory to God, he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Glory to God. In the book of the Lamb, in the book of Leviticus, the sin offering reveals to us the character of the Lamb. Oh, in the book of Leviticus, this Lamb had to be without spot or blemish. Peter talks about that, revealing to us that it was nothing outwardly wrong with him and nothing inwardly wrong with him. You can't find anything wrong with the Lamb of God. Isaiah 53, the great chapter in the Old Testament that points us to the Lamb, shows us the suffering Lamb, revealing us the personality of the Lamb. For all through Isaiah, you find this innocent one that's doing this for us. And I bless his holy name. He. It is he. If you don't like that, it's him. It's him. It's him. It's him. If you don't like that, he's the onlyest. The onlyest. The onlyest. You say, that's not a word. Yes, it is. I just said it. John chapter 1, where twice John sets forth the truth pointing to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Shows us the identity of the Lamb. Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch reading from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. Philip the evangelist leads him to Christ. And he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, setting forth the Christhood of the Lamb. 1 Peter chapter 1 reveals to us the resurrection of the Lamb. Our text in Revelation chapter 5 reveals to us the enthronement of the Lamb. Revelation 21 and 22 reveals to us the kingship of the Lamb. That progressiveness all the way through is the best hermeneutics of the Word of God that I've ever been in. Thank God that first mentioned principle points us to the Lamb. The last thing in the book of the Revelation points us to the Lamb. And Brother David, all the way through, the rest of it points us to the Lamb. It's Him. He's the Lamb. Genesis chapter 4, the emphasis on perpetuation. For God was satisfied. He had respect unto Abel and to his sacrifice. Genesis 22, the emphasis is on substitution. For the lamb was offered in the place of Isaac. Exodus 12, the emphasis is upon protection. Through the lamb, as the blood was applied over the door post and the Jews of Goshen, and they were protected from the wrath of God. Listen to me. Let me just insert this. My wife says, "I hate when you insert." But let me just remind you tonight, they were not saved by the water. You listen to me. You listen to me good and you put it down. You can use Exodus 12. You can use Exodus when they crossed over. When the Red Sea was opened up, and it's a miracle. I think it's more of a miracle that they walked across on dry land than the water opened. But you, and that crowd got across in one night. But you can read that and you can preach it as salvation if you want to. That's wrong. God didn't say, "When I see the sea part, I'll pass over you." God didn't say, "When you walk across on dry land, I'll pass over you." God didn't say, "When I see the water, I'll pass over you." God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." That whole crowd, Brother Jamie, every one of them would have died and went to hell if they had not been obedient. Took that blood and put it on the doorpost, and that death angel come by. It was the blood that escaped. No wonder he's worthy. He's worthy. Leviticus, the emphasis upon absolution, as the sinner was absolved of his guilt through the Lamb. Oh God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I bowed my knee here. You either bow it here or you'll bow it yonder. But you're home with this tonight and you get it good. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess to the glory of God what? That He is Lord. I'm glad, glory to God, I bowed this side of eternity. I'm thankful I owe it all to Him and what He's done. Isaiah 53, the emphasis is upon expiation. For the penalty of sin is expiated and blotted out throughout the Lamb. Ah, it makes sense now. I think tonight when I look back through that and read that tremendous passage now, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It lets me know that I am what I am by the grace of God. It lets me know that my sins are gone. Thank God I'm glad, as that song says, "What sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore." Glory to God. God does not see us as we were. He sees us in Christ Jesus, our precious Lord. He's worthy, my brother. He's worthy. He's worthy. 1 John, in John chapter 1, the emphasis upon removal. Thank God of the guilt and ugliness of sin. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I believe down deep in his heart. Let me remind you that this Bible does not tell us everything that's said. It does not tell us everything that God knows. It tells us all that God wants us to know. It tells us all that God wanted to be said. But I believe somewhere along the line, I'm not spiritualizing, that's just my opinion, you don't have to agree with it, but I believe somewhere along the line, old John the Baptist, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," I believe he got a joy spell down deep inside of his heart, and I believe he embarrassed that bunch of Pharisees, that bunch of hypocrites, that bunch of, that was going to hell, that religious crowd. Now I'm going to tell you something, if this stuff offends you tonight, you lost as hell.
read. You read this book. Glory to God, they shouted it out. Thank God they weren't scared. They weren't afraid of the Lamb. Thank God they talked about the Lamb. They praised the Lamb. They had something to shout about. Could be, God forbid, that you don't have anything to shout about. You're just as wicked a sinner as I was. I had a lady in my church got up one night. It's amazing how we call it testimony meetings when all it is complaining meetings. But I had a lady get up in my church one night. She was talking about she thanked God. Boy, did she never smoke a cigarette. She never taken any dope. Boy, she'd never run around. She was a virgin when she got married and all that stuff. Surely. Thank God she was a nice moral lady. But you know where she'd have went? Without the saving grace of God. I didn't mean to be ugly. I'm a pastor. I didn't mean to be ugly, but I wanted to tell the truth. I looked and I said, yes, dear sister. The flip side of that coin is, I was the sorriest, low-down, good-for-nothing rascal that ever lived. But glory to God, it took just as much grace to save you as it did me. And thanks be unto God. I said tonight, it may be the reason I got something to shout about and something to like about, because I know where he brought me from. I know what he done. Glory to God, he done that which no one else could do. Acts chapter 8, the emphasis on salvation is of the Lamb. 1 Peter chapter 1, the emphasis is on redemption through the Lamb. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 5 emphasizes upon the government of the Lamb. Oh yeah, he's the Lion. He's going to rule and reign. But as the Lamb, he's the Redeemer. But this lamb business is going to be praised throughout eternity. But there's a time when he's the one that's ruling and reigning. And thanks be unto God, the emphasis is going to be he is king. Now, I don't like this stuff. I've heard some people say, he was prophet. He is priest. And he shall be king. Ain't but one thing wrong with that statement. That's straight out of hell. You got a proof text, preacher? Sure. Wouldn't preach it if I didn't. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. There have been many prophets and priests. There have been many kings and prophets. There have been many priests and kings. But there's never been one that's prophet, priest, and king except the great Redeemer. No wonder, glory to God, he's worthy to be praised. In Genesis 4, the Lamb is offering for sin. Genesis 22, he's offered upon for one person, Isaac. Exodus 12, he's offered for one family. Leviticus, he's offered for one nation. Isaiah 53, he's offered for many nations. John 1, he's offered for the whole world. Acts chapter 8, the Lamb is offered for whosoever. But he does a whosoever in. First Acts chapter 8, whosoever. 1 Peter chapter 1, the Lamb is offered for all history. Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb is offered for the universe. Revelation 21 and 22, the Lamb reigns for all eternity. Praise God for the Lamb for sin. Praise God the Lamb for one person. The Lamb for one family, one nation, many nations, the whole world, whosoever. All history, the universe, and all eternity. I say unto you, hallelujah, he's worthy. He's worthy. Well, might we sing the songs of old. Redeeming blood has been my theme and shall be till I die. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Thank God. Thank God. Ever since by faith I saw the stream that's flowing womb supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Thanks be unto God. There's emblems of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and the best for the world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, ho-humness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Thank God I'm glad tonight for the cross, for the dying lamb, for the darling lamb and what He's done. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to absolve. He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. I love that song, Blessed Redeemer. Praise God up Calvary's mountain. One dreary morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn. Facing for sinners, death on the cross, that He might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems how I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. I'm glad tonight to report to you that He's my Savior. He's worthy to be praised. Besides Him, there's none else. As we look in this passage of Scripture tonight, the Lion is none other than the Lord Himself. Thank God Jesus is the one that is the Lion. He's the one that rules and reigns. He's the Lamb. He's the one that redeems. He's my loving Lord. He's the one that gives me rest. He's the one tonight that lifted me up and set me free. Glory to His name. He revived my soul. Let me say, He demonstrates His love by doing what He said He would do. Oh, dear God, He's Almighty God who deserves all honor and worship and praise. He's a self-existing God who needs no help, yet He loved me. Very God of very God. No problem whatsoever for me to believe that He has always been and always will be. Someone said, well, He just became who He was when He was born there in Bethlehem and laid in that manger. And that's when He became Savior. I beg your pardon, dear friend. Thank God before the foundation of this world, He's the Savior of all mankind that'll come on His conditions. Oh, dear God, I don't walk around and find out who's got each stand on the back of that shirt tail. Praise be unto God. I preach it to whosoever will. And let the blessed Holy Ghost do the work. I'm just glad, hallelujah, that He stopped over at my place. You don't figure God out. You faith God. I don't like this term evil. Let's track God. You don't track God anywhere. You trust God. But altogether lovely one. He steps out of glory. Took on flesh. Left a perfect life. Took my hell for me. Yes, He's worthy. Tasted death for me. He's worthy. He knew what it was like to be lonely, to be weary, to be tired, to be despised, to be rejected. He hungered. He was thirsty. He wept. Yes, He's worthy. Yet He created it all and holds it together. As God, He could speak, peace, be still, and the mighty waters would calm. He says, see, and the blinded eyes were open. He says, hear. And the deaf ears were unstopped. He says, live, and glory be unto God. That which was dead comes alive. Do you know why Jesus said in John chapter 11, Lazarus, come forth? Why was it just personal? For a whole lot of reasons. If he'd have said, come forth, everything that had been created would have come forth, because all things obey him. I'm glad tonight he said they would come forth. Whew. He's worthy. He's worthy. He says, get up! Be gone! And they say, why come to torment us before that time? They have to leave. Thank God the action of that love as he shows it. He walked on the water, yet he walks with me. You ever tried walking on the water? I have had faith. Oh, Ernest says, if you've got faith, you can do anything. I don't know how he would know, because he sure don't use it. But I went over there one day, it's my pool. They don't put me in hell for having that. It's doctor's orders. But I went over there one day and I said, but I had sense enough to know, Brother Jamie, I'd better do it in the shallow end. Yeah. I stepped out and I said, I got faith now. I'm going to run across it like that little Japanese boy did, or that Korean, or whatever it was, on one of them movies I was watching. He got to run and run to that boat just right on top of that water. But I didn't have sense enough to know they had a plank under that thing. He just walked in and couldn't see it. But anyway, I stepped out. That's what I done. You know what would have happened if I'd have gotten the deep end? God didn't design you to walk on water. He done it so you could believe He is. He created it. He could sure walk on it. And He walked on it. But the blessed part, He walks with me. Oh God, I feel like singing again. I won't bore you. But I'm glad, hallelujah, that He loved me. In Revelation 1:5, that word love is in the present tense. He loves me now and forever. He took my sin, and I want to say to you tonight, I'll be done in just a minute. He took my sin. But you know there's never been a time when God loved me anymore than He loves me now. When I sorry and low down, good for nothing, reprobate, headed to hell in overdrive, didn't know God, didn't give Him a thought, cussed Him every breath. Got wounded in Vietnam, could have died and went to hell. I didn't know anything about the Bible at that time, but now I know, thank God, His protecting hand was on me. Now I know it was the grace of God. And I say to you tonight, He didn't owe me a thing. But I'm so glad that He stopped over at my place. He done that work, picked me up, polished me up, and put me up. Yes! Oh, yes! Yes, yes, yes. And one day, because I've been pointed up, I'm going to arrive at the place that is already created. I've heard people say, well, God is building a place in heaven for me. Don't you believe a word of that? I've heard people say that I wonder if I'm going to be next door to an empty mansion. Don't you believe a word of that? Do you think God would waste His time building something to be empty? Listen to me good. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if you want, you got a book tonight, you don't have a Bible if it says rooms. Somebody said, well, it ain't no difference. Oh, it's not. Would you rather go home tonight to a room? Or would you rather go home to a mansion? That little crowd that's smarter than God says, well, it ain't but one word. My God, why are you so upset over leaving one word out? I'm not nip that in the bud. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I ain't going to leave but one word out of that. Because according to that crowd, it don't matter. Just one word, it don't change it. Thou shalt commit adultery. Big difference. He deliberately loosed me and set me free. Thank God He's my Redeemer. He definitely lifted me and set me up. I bless His name and praise Him and give Him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. I want you to look back with me and I'll be done in just a moment. I want you to look back with me and I want to look at this song here in Revelation chapter 5. It was a song, as we see in verses 8 through verse 14. But as He says this in verse 12, it says with a loud voice, thou art worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And then in verse 9 it says they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book. Could I say to you tonight, that lets me know that it's a song of exaltation. In a song that's sung that does not exalt our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, you better push it aside. Anything that does not uplift Him and bring honor and glory to Him, you better push it aside. I think it's ridiculous in the day that we live, and I heard it just not too long ago. I think it's ridiculous for somebody to get up and sing about God building them a place in heaven and talking about mama, angels singing and talking about mama doing things for them and all that stuff. And boy, that crowd will shout it out and cry and weep. But then you get up and sing, there's a fountain filled with blood. Draw from Emmanuel's vein. And they sit there like a calf at a new gate and don't get stirred. Something's mighty wrong in this thing. I say to you, He's the exalted one. He's worthy to be praised. It was an evangelical song. It was all about the gospel. It says that was slain and has redeemed us to God by His blood. That word slain means violently slain. I don't have time tonight to get into this, but you study that crucifixion and you'll find Isaiah tells us He was beat beyond recognition. Oh, He was beat to a pulp. All He could have done, as they said this morning, He could have called 10,000 angels. But I want to say something, I'm not rebuking you, but I'm going to say something to you. He didn't have to call any angel. Thank God He could have just spoke and it had been done and He could have come off of that cross. But I'm glad, glory to God, that He didn't. I'm thankful He stayed there. Oh, they put Him in that lonely grave. They put Him in that tomb as His soul and His spirit and that body was gone. Then the third day, they went down there to see where He was at. Thought they'd stole His body. But then the Savior Himself, thank God, introduced Himself. And says, weep not. There it is again. I'm glad, thank God, He takes care of the weeping ones. Oh, yes. And when He spoke Mary's name, thank God she had heard it so many times before. She could not misunderstand this time. My God and my Lord, You're alive forevermore. Death cries down and says, is it corruption yet? The devil hollers down, has He corrupted yet? Oh, but death says, don't worry. Just a second day. Just wait. It'll happen. Third day, hey! Has He corrupted yet? He hollers back and getting nervous now, twisting his thumb, walking to and fro and says, oh God. He said, I'm going to tell you, devil. He says, his toenails ain't even turned. He says, under God. And he goes back and he said, check him again. He said, oh my God, he's gone. Neither will thou leave my soul in hell. Neither will thy Holy One suffer corruption. Thanks be unto God. I'm glad tonight that He's gone and I love Him where He's brought us from. It's an evangelistic song. It's an evangelistic song, evangelical song. It's an evangelistic song. Redeemed us to God out of every kindred, every tongue, every people. That is every ancestry, every language and every race and nation. The county of the government. What He's saying, all that come to God will come through the blood of the Lamb. It was an encouraging song and has made unto us God's kings and priests. It's a song of expectation. We shall reign with Him. He's worthy to receive power He's worthy to have power over our lives, the church of God. He's worthy to have power. I want to tell you something. This Obamacrat don't have control of this world, buddy. God in His marvelous grace is the only one that's in control of this thing. We've gotten so sorry and pushed God aside, and don't you take us right. We don't push God anywhere that God don't want to be pushed. But we've got God out of our schools. We've gotten God out of our churches. We've gotten God out of our families. We've gotten God out of our counties. We've gotten God out of our states. We've got God out of our country. We don't want it no more. So God says, all right, I'll let you have it. But I'm glad for a crowd like this. Thank God we can still get together and shout it out and praise Him. We still can have the freedom tonight to worship Him and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord. That's my message to you tonight. For the rest of your life, every day that you get up out of your bed, and you're able to get up and you've got sense enough, and you're not crazy as a loony, He says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive it all. I am what I am by the grace of God, and I thank You for redeeming me and praising You. Them seven spirits and seven eyes and all that seven stuff shows perfection. He's an all-seeing God. He's an all-knowing God. He's an all-controlling God. Worthy is the Lamb. Now, Father, You've been so good to this preacher. You've given us good liberty. You've given us a good place to preach tonight. I say to You that Thou art God, and besides Thee there is none else. And I praise You for where You brought us from, for what You're going to do for us. I ask You now to have Your way in this invitation. Thy will be done concerning this. We'll praise You in Jesus' blood-stained name.